Ballots will begin arriving in Oregon mailboxes by the end of next week. Anybody planning to vote in this election needs to have registration in order by Tuesday of next week. Once registration is locked up, ballots go out about 2-3 days later. We turn our attention now to one of the larger races in our region, larger in the geographical sense anyway. The 2nd Congressional District of Oregon is huge. Grants Pass on the west, Idaho on the east, Washington on the north, California on the south, Nevada on the south, actually, too. The Congressional District is bigger than most states. Greg Walden, a Republican, represents it and has for nearly 20 years. He is running for re-election. Jamie McLeod Skinner is a Democrat running against Walden. She is an Ashland High School graduate and a former elected official, a city council member in Santa Clara, California. We have reached out to Greg Walden, too, but today Jamie McLeod Skinner has the microphone. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much.
So how many miles are you up to as of today? We were talking about, I don't know, something like 30 or 40,000.
Over 40,000. I think lost count at this point.
Mm-hmm. Have you visited every county in the?
Oh, absolutely. Visited every county last year. And it's really about showing up and listening, making sure that the vision forward includes and addresses the needs throughout our county, throughout our district, and that's all 20 counties. One of the things a lot of folks don't realize about our district is almost half the people live at or near the poverty line. And those are some of the things that are being overlooked, and those are some of the things that need to be addressed in Washington, D.C.
Is that the original motivation? I mean, you came into what is a tough place for a Democrat to win, and B, into a crowded field of Democrats for the primary this year.
Yeah, it was a crowded field. A lot of really great folks who ran in the primary, and I'm happy to say they've all are supporting my race going forward, because it really was, while many people were running, it was really a joint vision of better representation for our district. You know, in terms of the issues, there's the three big ones that come up consistently are healthcare, education, and economic development. So that's really the focus. And I'm a proud rural Democrat, but I'm also endorsed by the Independent Party of Oregon and the Working Families Party as well.
Well, I don't want to get bogged down too much on the horse racy aspects of this, but the fact is there's a huge bulge in the registration of the district, many more Republicans than Democrats. If everybody registered votes and votes by party, you have to get more than 60% of everybody else. Is that possible?
Well, you're missing 40% of the district. So 40% of the voters in our district are not registered as either Republican or Democrat. They're either independent or non-affiliated or
other party.
But that's
my point. You have to win 60% of those.
Republicans are 34%, and I've actually got a lot of Republicans who are already on board. We have a group that's formed Republicans for Jamie McLeod Skinner. We also clearly Democrats as well, but it's a more independent-minded district. And so it's really talking about the basics. And I've met so many Republicans who have essentially said, you know, I feel like my party has left me. And also a lot who said that they voted for Greg Walden in the past, Democrats as well, because I think he used to do a good job, but he's changed. And, you know, one of the most telling points or telling things I've heard is a former Republican county commissioner in Union County who used to be a huge Greg Walden supporter who's supporting my race. And he said the Greg Walden of 20 years ago would vote against the Greg Walden of today.
Huh. That's an interesting. Did he identify specifically which issues he thought that would happen on?
Some key issues. One, running up the deficit, which you know, in last December, the $1.5 trillion deficit that was added as corporate. Based on corporate giveaways to major corporations, super wealthy.
Tax cuts to the corporation.
Yeah, right. And those were, you know, double-digit giveaways. And it's a huge, the $1.5 trillion deficit, as a frame of reference, could wipe out all student loan debt in the entire country. It's also, it's three times as much as even the Farm Bill, and the Farm Bill hasn't been passed as of this session or as of this point. And that creates a lot of insecurity for farmers and ranchers. But that was one of the key points that he raised, so not being fiscally responsible. And yeah, we've got costs out there, but there's also ways to manage that. And the other key point is the cuts, and that $1.5 trillion is now being used by the Republican Party to target Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And that's another area that, you know, we've got a lot of vulnerable folks in our district, and that's a real target right now.
I see that getting talked about, but I don't see it getting introduced thus far. I mean, has anybody actually got a bill they're waving around saying, this is what we need to do to Medicare and Social Security?
Well, there is an election coming up. So
nobody's going to waive any kind of bill.
But there's already been statements made by the speaker and a few others. And so I think they're dragging their feet a little bit. Once we get right up the election, they'll still have a little bit of time in the lame duck session to move forward.
Jamie McLeod Skinner, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a Democrat running for Oregon's 2nd Congressional District seat against Greg Walden, the Republican incumbent of 20 years. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Your questions, your comments, welcome. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So let's take your issues in the order you gave them. Health care is your major concern. We had the Affordable Care Act passed. We had a great effort in Congress to repeal it. It didn't succeed completely, but it did make some dents and dings in the Affordable Care Act, like removing the individual mandate. So how would you like to see health care handled by the federal government going forward?
Yeah, and the ACA was a great first step, although to your point, a lot of the carving away at it has not allowed it to achieve its vision. And frankly, right now, their costs are too high for the middle class. And our current representative has voted to repeal it over 50 times without offering a viable alternative. So I talk about ideas when I'm talking about healthcare, and there are models out there that help to capture these ideas. But the key things are that everyone gets access to a full range of physical and mental health care. I say access because that's financial accessibility and also physical proximity, which is a huge issue in rural communities. The second is that we need to manage costs, and there's ways to carve out about 25% of our current costs that can be used to then funnel into actually providing care for folks, care for the caregiver, covering pre-existing conditions, preventative care. These are some of the things that should be wrapped up into moving forward and developing a more robust healthcare system.
What kinds of cost controls? I know we're going to be talking to a healthcare expert mostly about California tomorrow, but we had a pre-interview earlier this week, and he was explaining that consolidation in the healthcare industry in particular has added a lot of cost because it means a company that is basically a monopoly can charge a lot more.
Well, so it depends then on who is leading that. Yes, companies and the private sector, which is very important in some aspects of our economic development in general, but the private sector, their bottom line focus is shareholders. When it's there's consolidation and it's run by a government agency, that ultimately then the accountability is to taxpayers and to voters. But I do think the private sector has an important role in healthcare, but a consolidation in the insurance markets. We've seen the costs, administrative costs are much lower when it's managed by government agencies. There's the public accountability piece, and the consolidation cuts out about 25% of costs, again, that can be put back into actually providing care. And then the big one is also better negotiation with big pharmaceutical companies. So my opponent is the number one recipient of corporate PAC money from Big Pharma. And the same companies that helped to create the opioid crisis. But those costs can be brought down through negotiation. And with the way that the system is structured right now, the multiple insurance companies cannot effectively negotiate with the big pharmaceutical companies.
So where would you like to end up? Single payer, Medicare for all, something like that?
I mean, those are two examples, but I really think it needs to start with the big picture ideas and then a conversation about what the different models look like. There's, you know, we're the only industrialized country that doesn't provide care to everyone, and our costs are so much higher than other countries. So Germany's got an interesting model. Switzerland's got an interesting model. Ultimately, it has to work for us. And so we need to start with the ideas, get consensus around what we're trying to accomplish, and then bring the experts into the room to tell us how to get there. But some of the things you mentioned are those are models, but even Medicare, there's some strengths to it, but there's also some weaknesses, and I think those should be addressed.
When you start talking about other countries' systems, though, you get into that realm that the right wing tends to throw against the left wing, and I'm not going to specify that you're in either one of those, but the idea that anything like that is socialism, and socialism is still used as a scary word in America.
It is. That's more of the Canadian model, but the Canadian model is essentially like our VA system. And so that's all government run. My view is that a mixture of government and private sector is probably the best model. But ultimately, it comes down to ideas. We start with ideas. And yeah, people are going to throw out the scary words and try to intimidate people. But ultimately, regardless of party affiliation, we all care about our families, we all care about our communities. And I've yet to meet someone across the political spectrum who doesn't want their family to have access to health care when they're sick.
Jamie McLeod Skinner, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Democrat running for Congress in Oregon's 2nd Congressional District, a vast district larger than all but about 12 states, I think. You can join the conversation on the Exchange about the issues and about the forces at play in this year's election. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And we welcome a call from Ann in Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange.
Thank you. I really appreciate your candidacy, and even though I'm not in your district, I made a small contribution. One of the things I would like to see Democratic candidates emphasize is that the Republican Party is the billionaire party, and that's who its clients mainly are. In the last 8 years of Republican-controlled Congress, have you seen the Congress pass any bill that benefited the ordinary working American more than it benefited billionaires? Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate the question.
Yeah, you raise a very important point, but I will actually call out both parties. I absolutely agree that the Republican Party in Washington, D.C., has focused on and is beholden to the major corporations and the super wealthy. I'll also call it the Democratic Party in D.C. and say its focus has largely been on urban areas. My district is largely rural. That's why I identify as a rural Democrat. But I think both parties can be called out on not focusing on the needs of rural communities as well. And one of the things I like to say when I'm talking to Democrats is, don't confuse the Republicans in Washington, D.C., who are hurting all of us, with our friends and neighbors and family members who are Republican, because it's really about moving beyond the shouting match of the party affiliation piece and really focusing on what are the needs throughout, you know, our district or that are the needs of our respective constituents, and how do we address those needs and care for our communities? Because regardless of party affiliation, as I mentioned before, we all care about our families, we all care about our communities. So it's really about getting back to the basics, and that's where I think Washington, D.C. is off track.
So you listed among your top three, I'm going to skip over education for now, but economic development, a big issue for you. What can Congress do, or what can Congress do perhaps in conjunction with the state of Oregon to help goose economic development in a place that has wide open areas and not that many people?
Yeah, and you know, again, regardless of party affiliation, we all want to put a roof over our head and food on our table, and that's a huge issue in my district where almost half the folks are at or near the poverty line. So what government can do is help to create the partnerships that move things forward. I mean, this is largely the private sector's realm, but the government has an important role in supporting, incentivizing, and sometimes filling in the gaps. So, for example, right now, my district has a huge opportunity for renewable energy, solar, wind, geothermal, biofuel as well. Right now, our country is subsidizing the fossil fuel industry instead of creating incentives to grow the renewable energy sector. Renewable energy, good-paying jobs, good for our planet, helps to address the increasing temperatures and changing climate. You know, my opponent is one of the top recipients of fossil fuel corporate PAC money, but that's really wrong-minded. His votes have been following that. So one of the things, again, renewable energy. We have graduates from OIT just over the hill who have to move out of the state in order to find jobs. So renewable energy, that investment, rural broadband is huge. And I was just in John Day speaking with the city manager there. He is looking to bring our broadband to his city. It's a really important thing for economic development, and he's $1 million short. And so the government stepping in and helping to provide, close that gap is one of those things that can be done. It's kind of like the stone soup approach. It's there's something missing, and the government can fill that in to make sure it goes forward. Housing is a huge issue throughout the district. Other things, water systems, transportation systems. I was chatting with a guest of the the Chamber of Commerce in Vail, which is Eastern Oregon, near Ontario, a couple weeks ago, and they were saying that the big thing for them is the transfer station along the rail track. And they wanted to help improve that or upgrade it so they can move their product, their crops to market. So that's the kind of thing that the government can step in, provide some additional subsidies, support the private sector so the private sector can flourish. Another big thing also, especially in Eastern Oregon, Central Oregon right now, are the tariffs. And so our representative is not pushing back against the president. The tariffs with China are really hurting our wheat industry. And so I've had wheat growers who are supporting my campaign who said, look, we don't want to be borrowing money from China for a one-year bailout. We want to be selling them our wheat. And so it's those kind of things that we should be focusing on.
Jamie McLeod Skinner, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Democrat running for Oregon's 2nd Congressional District. Let's talk about traditional industry, though, because forestry always a big deal in the 2nd District.
Yeah.
So where do you stand with fuels reduction for fires, salvage logging, that whole suite of things that seems to come together?
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning sustainable forestry is another key part of our economy. And we do have a traditionally extraction economy in many parts of Oregon, and that is an important part of our industry. But making sure it's sustainable is key. So the thinning of the forests, and that's a key part of that market. And we're now starting to see a transition to biofuels. There's a plant opened in Lakeview. There's opportunities up in Grants Pass, repurposing our mills, and so still using wood product, but not the all or nothing, not just straight out clear cutting, but actually thinning forests, managing our forest. With regard to the wildfires, that's been a health issue, an economic issue throughout our district. Listening to the experts, because the important thing to do is listen to experts and respect science. But listening to the experts, we hear the thinning of forests will help. Some prescribed burns to manage fuel loads are also things that are really important. So providing the resources so that work can get done and also keeping those jobs as part of our economy is critically important.
A couple of more calls here. David in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jamie McLeod Skinner.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Ma'am, if your work ethic during your campaign is any indication of how you're going to run your congressional seat when you win, you have my full support. We currently have an absentee representative. And you said something as you started the program today that was startling, and that was, I believe you said half of the people in the district are in poverty. Would you talk more about that in terms of the demographics and the range of poverty across the district?
All right, David, thanks for bringing that point up again.
Yeah, thanks, David. I appreciate that. And this is something that's not being seen right now. So it's almost half of the folks in our district are at or near the poverty line. And we're seeing the generational poverty. We're seeing the impacts that's having our kids and our families and our communities. Now, we also hear that the unemployment rate is low, which is true. But we have too many people who are working multiple jobs and still can't keep a roof over their head and food on the table. So that's why a focus on good-paying jobs is critically important. That's why a focus on education and healthcare. These are the things that are the barriers to our economy growing. And it's also, again, going back to the basics, focusing on supporting things like housing, education, healthcare, so that people can be able to work and provide for their families, and then helping to stimulate our economy and the economic sector, so that folks have access to those good paying jobs and can work, be part of the economy and provide for their families as well.
Let's take another call from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jamie McLeod Skinner running for Congress.
Good morning, Ms. Skinner. I wish you the best. You have my vote. I will make one observation, and that is, if we do not have an environment within which we and our children can survive, all of your other issues are moot. The UN is saying 20 years to uncontrolled climate change. There are people who say the window is a lot less than that. What are you going to do about it? Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Paul. Yeah, absolutely. Starting with the climate, the environment, the physical environment, and also the political and social environment are things we need to be concerned of as well for our kids. But the climate, our changing climate, increasing temperatures, it's impacting all of us. And to your point, it's creating a narrow window and impacting health and all these other issues as well. And I've been really struck that farmers in Eastern Oregon are talking about our changing climate as well. This is not a, you know, liberal versus conservative issue. This is an issue that folks are concerned about throughout our district. So my approach and focus is to, you know, I mentioned before, focus on renewable energy, focus on better management of our resources. One of the challenges that we have on this issue and others as well is the fallback on buzzwords. And in the question actually that Jeffrey, that you asked about healthcare, is the words that tend to get us fight in the arguing about points, the buzzwords that get us, you know, falling into one camp or another.
Like socialism.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if something's a good idea, it's a good idea. But I try very hard to avoid buzzwords because it's we need to be talking about ideas right now. We need to be talking about what's good for our families, good for our communities. So, Paul, to your point about the climate, you know, when I'm talking to farmers, I talk about the increasing temperatures and changing climate, and that's something that's impacting their crops and impacting their livelihood and impacting their families. You know, when we're talking with forestry folks, you know, we're talking about thinning fuel loads, but we're also talking about it in the context of our health, our safety, and jobs. And so it's partially how we talk about things that allows us to have the conversations we really need to be having right now to build a safer and healthier environment, climate, and also the political climate as well, quite frankly.
Speaking of the political climate, you can hear the music, so we're really low on time, just a few seconds left. How would you like to reform campaign finance, and are you living that now?
Yeah, well, we're almost at $1 million in our campaign, but it's all less than, you know, $100 per. We need to make sure we're taking some of the money out of politics and focusing on politics, being accountable to the constituents, to voters, and to people. So carving out the corporate PACs would be a good way forward.
Jamie McLeod Skinner, Democrat running for Congress in Oregon's 2nd Congressional District. We have reached out to Greg Walden and to the Independent as well and are waiting to hear. Jamie McLeod Skinner, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for the opportunity.